You're listening to WCNO Palm City.
Welcome to the Mindy Molina Show. I'm Mindy Molina, investment advisor representative, licensed insurance agent, and fiduciary. This is a live show, and I'll be here to take your calls at 772-221-1100 with any of your financial concerns. Again, that's 772-221-1100. Good afternoon, friends. This is Mindy Molina and Frank Borelli. You're listening to the Mindy Molina Show on WCNO. And today, Frank and I are going to be talking about planning and a lot of some scripture mixed in with some of the most influential financial leaders of our time and their thoughts on planning. And I'm really just encouraging you to get organized. I was my big initiative these last few months were that I was going to organize all the drawers in my house. And there's actually a lot of drawers in my house. And I started in the kitchen. And I have to say, I'm months in, and it is a game changer when it comes to homework with the kids or just needing something, you know, to fix, maybe tape, maybe it's Sharpie, everything, you know, that junk drawer, it's all so organized. And I was inspired by a friend of mine. We went to their house and they just moved into this new home. So we were getting the whole home tour. And she opened the drawers in this entryway and they were perfect, like all these little organized segments. Oh. And not the little inserts that you stick, the little plastic inserts. These awesome. Were like little. These things that she had gotten on Amazon, and they were amazing. I went right then, I ordered them, and I said, this is my goal. But my life is so much better because of doing that work. And I feel like this is the same deal with our finances. We get so crazy and disorganized, and we kind of have this junk drawer of investments and scattered tools, things that we need and that we use and that we have, and we know we have them and we kind of know where they are. However, they're not organized. And I think having that peace, it's like, it is a game changer. So today is really about planning and what can actually provide you financial freedom. But like always, I want to start with a verse, and I'm going to pray this time. I always ask Frank to pray, but Frank knows that my prayer for my business is always that God would lead me to the people that need me, right?
Yep, that's right.
And the ones that don't get to go on their merry way. And I can use that time to spend with my family and vice versa. So our time is super valuable. And that's why, and I know that our gifts and this position that God has appointed us to as financial planners, financial advisors, and specialists in all of those areas is valuable. And I want him to be able to use it.
I think you'd also say that the being organized in your spiritual life or to be rooted in God's word is just as important as the other areas you're mentioning, financials in my home.
Amen to that. Yeah, it's true. It is true. Like making time to just sit down and read the word with my kids or watch a Bible video. And it's staying organized, staying vigilant and continuing to be committed to keeping up with it. But it's the same thing in my life. You're right. Like you kind of hit a very, like a nerve, like a spot with me because
with all of us, we feel like we're the only ones going through it. But
I think when it comes to like spirituality and being in the word or being with the Lord, I'm always with the Lord. I pray nonstop throughout the day.
Amen.
But I think I could be a little more organized and probably more together emotionally, mentally, all the way, like overcoming so many little minor setbacks in
Mindy,
the day.
If I wasn't, we all feel that way.
I know. So this doesn't just apply. This topic today doesn't just apply to finances. I mean, it applies to so many other things in our life.
Having balance and structure, disciplines. I've been reading this book on disciplines, being disciplined. That's what you're saying,
yes.
too, right?
Yeah. And a discipline takes organization. It takes planning. It takes preparation and then implementation. So the verse I want to start with is Proverbs 16:3. Commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. So this is an awesome verse, and I when I say Mindy Molina Investments and Insurance, this practice that we are building is, and I say we, Frank too, is putting so much work and time into growing our practice, and this is what it is. For us, it is a commitment. We have committed our work to the Lord.
Amen. That is, yes, absolutely.
That is such a powerful bond that Frank and I have, is at the end of the day, we're committed to the Lord, and our work that we do is for the Lord. And I believe that in all business, especially for the business owners that are listening right now, take to heart this verse and let it be a reminder. Commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. And I have plans. I'm a big dreamer. I have all kinds of ideas of things I want. And, you know, vision boards and have
it's
my...
Great. Got a dream.
I
do. That's right.
And then letting God know, you know, a lot with the new, with the right now, really big thing is manifestation, right? Manifesting your, think about it and it'll come. Like, that's like the celebrity way and, or the, you know, I think of non-believers, right? You're learning how to manifest. And I giggle because scripture, like, he says, thank me for it as if it's already happened. Give thanks for like it's already happened. That is really what this whole like manifestation trend is. I just took a tangent, but I'm just saying.
Not familiar with that.
These things are already laid out by the Lord. So, and your plans will be established. So at the end of the day, commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. So I'm going to pray for our practice and just say, Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity that you have given me, given Frank, our team, of being able to impact others and to bring them financial peace and financial freedom through our financial planning. And your will in all of that, God. You know what our clients need. You know what our listeners need. And we just ask you to speak, to work for them through us. We're here to serve you and to give and to be fruitful in your spirit, Lord. And we are just so grateful for this authority that you've given us and the ability that you've provided for us. And we're very, very grateful. And we commit our work to you, Lord. And we thank you for this day and the show. And everyone be blessed that is driving and listening or at home. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So let's dive into planning. So in my early 20s, I have three brothers and we are all going on vacation and I have all of these plans for everybody, right? Like this is what we're going to do on this day. And then we're going to do this and we have to do this while we're there and this and this and this. And my eldest brother, who is always, he deserves that. He's the eldest brother. He's the wise one. He's the reason I got saved. He says, sis, you have all these plans for everybody and all they are is this big expectation. And it just leads to disappointment because if something doesn't happen exactly the way you expect it to, then you're disappointed whenever we could just be having a great day versus you having all these expectations. So that resonated with me and I thought, he's right. I need to go with the flow, not be so organized, not be so planned out and have all these expectations of what's going to happen. And then when it doesn't happen, I'm let down. So I let go a lot at that point in my life. I really did. It was really impactful, and it was a game changer for me. And it was a win, I will say. In that, it allowed me to stop being so controlling. Although Frank might beg the difference. I wish I had the video on your face. Because your face was very questionable. Like, did it? But yes, so control is not the same as plan, you know?
Yep, plan.
It's two different things.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the second verse of Proverbs?
21:5. The plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty. The plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty.
Yeah, diligent. Plans. We were just talking about that. Right? Were we on the air when we were talking about discipline and how important it is?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So you have a plan, and sometimes creating a plan requires diligence. Like it is.
And flexibility at the same time.
And flexibility needs to be built into your plan.
Goals, planning.
Yeah.
And the ability to improvise, adapt, and overcome is a.
Yes.
Improvise, adapt, and overcome. That's a military term.
Very good. And it's right. It's so true because. We can have all the plans that we want. That doesn't mean that we have absolute control.
Still moving forward.
Right? We're still moving forward. We need flexibility, but we need to be diligent. And we need to be diligent in the very beginning. Because building the plan, I think, and you're probably seeing this as well, a lot of the work comes when we meet with someone, we sit down with them, we got their junk drawer of financial stuff.
Many times, yeah.
We get it all organized. We create the plan. We take the necessary time and energy to get all of these things in order. And then after that, then what happens? I mean, it's...
Then you see peace.
Peace
is the client. Oh.
And time. They're not in our office every day or every other month. They're trying to figure this out. It's like already done, right? So the diligence part of it kind of happens. I think a lot of the work and energy and commitment happens in the first month of us sitting down with someone.
Yeah, and in the, you know, if you're young out there, like get a plan and get started. Like, goodness gracious, Mindy, you know, mentions we're dual licensed, and we're dual licensed for a reason. The model that Mindy has created for her business that I certainly appreciate so much is, you know, how can we sit with families and couples and talk about their future and retirement and not have insurance on the table to at least talk about? And goodness gracious, you know, having that permanent life insurance, you wait until you're in your 50s or 60s and you have a life insurance and you have maybe children and grandchildren and you'd love to leave this legacy, but you waited until you have some crazy disease, God forbid, or what's going on in your life.
Don't wait. So be diligent about your planning.
And tenacious is another great word I love. Tenacity. Have tenacity. You know, you think you have, you know, you're diligent and, you know, concerned about all these areas of your life. If you get your finances in order and have a plan and you're moving forward, I believe you will see peace in the other areas of your life.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And you allow the Lord to be in the midst of it.
Yeah. And just like that verse says, it's going to surely lead to abundance. But everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty. So having that financial plan and that commitment to it, right? Sticking to your budget, sticking to the plan.
Don't give up.
If you just are hasty in decision making when it comes to your finances, you surely are going to lead to poverty. Luke 14:28, for which of you desiring to build a tower does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? So before we run out and think, oh, we're going to retire, wouldn't it be wise to sit down and see when, if you can retire?
How the numbers really work.
Yes.
What they look like.
I thought of a quote. Numbers don't lie.
Numbers
right?
don't lie.
I love math because numbers don't lie. So we're going to be quoting a lot of financial leaders today. And I was like, well, do I have any cool quotes that I
we'll
say?
Think of, I'm sure you do.
Yeah. I love math because numbers don't lie. I think that's
there you go.
That's one that I say
yes,
a lot.
Yes, that's right. You do. That is true. That's right, Mindy. You do. You say that one all the time. At least a few times with most clients.
Yes. It is the truth. If you just sit down and do the math, or let me do the math, let Frank do the math for you, that's what's going to give you financial peace, an understanding, and keep you from going down the wrong path to poverty. This one I love, and actually Jonathan here at the station, he's said this to me a couple times of how important it is. This is Proverbs 15:22. Without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. Without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. So, and this is a really, really important message that I was taught in my early 20s, first coming into the business world, is that A players hire A players. They surround themselves with A players. B players will hire C players because they want to feel that level of authority or over. This sense of having advisors, it's like building a team of advisors. We actually start to think that is only for the wealthy and it's not necessarily for the middle class. I'm here to change that mindset.
That's right.
Because the middle class needs advisors. Christians.
You have Yeah, go ahead. Thought, no, this is the live program.
Oh, yes.
This is the Mindy Molina Show. Mindy and I are sitting here talking today. I'm Frank. You can reach us here at the station at 772-221-1100. 772-221-1100. Call in with anything financial you'd like to, you have a question about or a story you might like to share. In all of our meetings, our planning sessions, no matter how many they may be, we sit with some clients for weeks, months after months, and there are no fees, no costs. We absolutely sit and find financial peace and financial freedom for our clients. That's what we do.
So without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. You don't have to have, you know, multi-million dollar investment accounts to justify having an advisor. You definitely need a good CPA. You need that's going to give you good, sound tax advice. You need an estate attorney. You need a team like Frank and I who have all of these resources that we can help guide you through the maze of financial freedom. However, you have access to all that stuff. So when someone comes to us, it's not just Mindy and it's not just Frank. You'd be surprised to know that there's hundreds of people working behind the scenes to create these financial plans and that participate in the overall construction of your financial freedom. It's not just us. And having those teams are what's able to help you level up. We're not just a one-man show, even though we are independent and we don't work for a large institution. We work for our clients, but there are so many, many, many. There is a corporate structure there that provides a huge leverage of help and resources.
With the same thought, I think, you know, what came to my mind when we're talking about without counsel, plans fail but with many advisors, they succeed. How many times, I know I'm not unique in this situation, where you have thoughts and the way you think about something, but then when you open your mouth and you want to begin to explain it to someone, what you're thinking, or you have revelation or a new insight. Just by opening your mouth and having to think about the words that are going to come out gives you insight when you're willing to share that with another counselor or another person, a professional in the industry.
Yeah, and people have different
perspectives. Even your spouse.
Yes. Yeah, we're big into family planning, including, you know, the spouse, because it's important, especially as we age, that your husband and wife both, and I've seen it both ways, that they are involved in the planning part, right? So at least knowing, having that relationship with the advisor, because what can happen is the husband passes away and the wife doesn't have the same
skill set.
Well, the same relationship with the advisor. I've seen that multiple times. And now that's how I have several that's how they became my client, because the relationship that the advisor had with their husband wasn't the same relationship. And now you have somebody else that's taking over the driving seat and is trying and has all of these questions and needs answers. And the answer is always, you're fine. You're fine, because they already did all the planning with the husband. But now this person isn't part of the plan. And they don't understand it.
Yeah, that's why we would, you know, prefer any and all of our appointments to be with the spouses, with both spouses, if at all possible.
Especially during the planning portion, so that they understand what the plan is.
They're read in.
Exactly. And if something happened, spousal continuation is a word.
It's important, yeah.
It's an important word, because this is the plan today. God forbid something happens to you. And, you know, odds are you're not going to both pass at the same time. One of you is going to go first. And the other one, the continuation of that plan, it needs to be built in for the spouse, because you may live 20 years without
For example, like one of the things I tell my wife all the time, she definitely says it now, is that, look, I have a bunch of life insurance on me. And if when I die, like, just put that money in the bank. Don't worry about, like, making decisions and having to pay off the house, like, at less than 3% interest, pay off a house. Like, maybe that's not, and then you lose all the write-offs for
your interest,
the interest, the taxes. Mm-hmm. And if you're charitable and you're tithing, like, minimum.
And again, every situation is different.
That's right.
But there's definitely, again, the math, right? At the end of the day, calculate it out and say, we just took a tangent on mortgages. But your point is, she has to have a clear understanding of what to do is built into the plan. Okay, so let's do number five. You read it.
All right. James 4:13-15. This is the half-brother of our Lord. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that.
So this is kind of a little twist on included this one.
Yeah.
Because the reality of it is some of us may not live to ever see retirement. We may be that 6% we found out that never see Social Security that they contribute to all those years. And to have that stress, my point of including this verse specifically is for you to understand that life is short. It's not to be taken for granted, and it's not to be overvalued. However, having peace of mind while we're here so that we can enjoy the things that God allows us to do or wills us to do, and putting our faith in Him, obviously, as it says, if the Lord wills, we will live and then do this or that. And but also understanding the overall picture, because some of us are so fixated on saving money that we don't enjoy our life.
And, right. That's
there's a lot of people that die with a significant nest egg. Now, I'm not the advisor that this is very unorthodox to be the one to be a financial advisor promoting you spending your money.
Because, but that's the whole reason that you come to sit with us, so you have permission to spend in your retirement.
Like,
you know your plan, and it's such a sound plan that you know you can spend the money that you've put away. Mm-hmm. And you can be reassured that as long as you might live, you have provision.
Because
and that's what
fear,
we help folks know.
Financial freedom versus financial fear. Financial fear is paralyzing. Financial fear of running out of money or going on too many trips before I'm 80 and now I'm 80 and I have to go live with my kids. There's fear of what do I do if? And the whole point of having financial freedom is the gap there, the bridge is a financial plan. Knowing the answer to, if I retire on this date, then what? If I go on a trip during this time, and then what? What if I'm semi-retired? What if I get sick? What if one of us gets Alzheimer's? What if one of us passes away? The what if, what if, what if, what if?
Yeah.
Knowing the answer to all of those things comes with financial security, a financial plan, and that's what gives you financial freedom. Actually, if we back up,
verse also speaks to not making your plans without considering with the Lord. Putting the Lord in the middle of your considerations.
Yeah,
like
right?
He's saying, you know, I'm worried about what going today and tomorrow, and I'm going to move here, and I'm going to move there. But have you talked to the Lord about this? Have you spent any time in prayer?
I'm guilty. So one time I was at, it's a very valid point. So this is years ago, and we're at this little church out in Indiantown, which is like small, you know, country, rural.
They're in our listening audience.
Yes. And we were looking for a new house, place to live, and I had found the house. It was just perfect. I could hear the Lord telling me, no, don't do it. Like, get the little one, the cheap one, just as clear as a bell in that back pew. And I will never forget it because it is one of the only times that I dismissed what was very clear to me.
And you dismissed. So you went with the house. You went for the house.
And that was the same year as 2008. I lost my job. We had a financial crisis. Had I not taken on that burden, that financial burden that God was so clear to me not to do, you know, but I was at the top of my game and I believed in
you. You heard him because that's how God speaks. It's called what? Yes. The still small voice of God, right? That's,
it was there.
I believe in Kings.
And I didn't listen.
Elisha.
And I paid for it. But I knew. I was like, yeah, he's saying, should have listened, right? Okay, financial freedom. What is financial freedom? So I pulled this up. Because I think it just reiterates the realities of financial freedom. Yeah, we all want it, What is it really, and how do we get it?
And is it a part of your why? Some folks of the books that we've both read before is knowing your why. Or, you know, what is the purpose of my life, and what do I want to do with my life?
Yeah.
And, you know, we believe in honoring the Lord first, right?
That's, yes. So financial freedom refers to a state of personal financial well-being and security in which an individual has the ability to make choices and pursue their desired lifestyle without constraints imposed by financial concerns. So again, that financial fear versus financial freedom. It is the ability to effectively manage and control one's financial resources. So effectively manage and control one's financial resources, which takes some effort emotionally, mentally, all of those things. Preparation.
Diligence.
That's the word I was looking for. Allowing for independence, flexibility, and peace of mind. I think financial freedom, peace of mind. I mean, we're kind of being able to pursue the lifestyle that you want without fear of running out of money, essentially. Okay, financial freedom typically involves having sufficient savings and investments, being free from excessive debt, and having a steady income or passive income stream that covers one's expenses. So this line right here is like got Mindy Molina written all over it. Number one, being free from excessive debt. Number two, having steady income or passive income, right? What do I say all the time?
Yeah, income for life.
Having these passive, steady income streams that covers one's expenses. Of our planning.
How do I know how much income I need if I don't know what my expenses are?
So how our financial planning process that I've created is founded so heavily on expenses.
Budgeting.
Another word, expenses. Yeah. And so that line right there is really hones in my process and provides surplus for personal goals and aspirations. How do you have financial freedom? You know what you can afford to spend. If you don't know what you can afford to spend, then you don't have financial freedom. And having this plan in place that doesn't take that much time and effort, I mean, it's so simple that it allows you, again, to have a better understanding because the numbers don't lie.
And achieving.
Go ahead.
You're listening to the Mindy Molina Show. This is a live broadcast. Mindy and I am Frank Borelli. We're broadcasting here at a WCNO. The phone number to reach us here with any questions or comments or stories you might like to share financially related, 772-221-1100, 772-221-1100. And you could find Mindy at MindyMolina.com, on YouTube, The Mindy Molina Show, Twitter, Instagram, Google. Visit us. Come set up a no-cost fee. No fee, consultation, planning session to help you figure out what your retirement could look like.
So financial freedom. We are talking about what is financial freedom. Achieving financial freedom involves careful planning. So we're really the bridge of all of it today is this one key word, plan, right? Planning. Yeah. Disciplined savings. Wise investment decisions. Maintaining a healthy balance between income, expenses, and your financial goals. So another thing that I think is really, really crucial, I talk about income for life, I talk about expenses, and I talk about investing to retire. Now, I believe that investments, because like this was saying, wise investment decisions. I think in order to make a wise investment decision, you have to know what you're investing for. What is your ultimate purpose of this money? What are you trying to achieve? Or are you just throwing haymakers and trying to the moon, like, and that's okay too, as long as you know that money you can afford to take the certain risk for that allotted amount of money. Mm-hmm. So wise investment decisions really comes down to doing the diligent planning.
Right, and having saved enough that you're comfortable enough to give up a portion of your savings that it can be invested. Some people might call it an opportunity fund, right? You're building your savings, your nest egg.
I call it play money.
Play money. So, yeah, once you get it big enough, some folks are 3 to 6 months. Maybe it's 1 to 2 years of cash set aside, readily accessible liquid funds as an emergency fund, as a savings, and then, finding those vehicles that make the most sense.
So what are the three areas that I divide a person's plan overall into? So you have, this is your test, Frank. Come on, you can do it. So the first one, the first account or section of money would be your
spending
expense account.
Spending.
Expenses, right.
Checking, savings.
Income coming in.
Daily out, bills.
Yeah, checking.
Checking.
That's your checking account. Income's coming in, bills are coming out. You're paying your credit card off every month if you're using it, and this is your expense segmented
bucket.
Money. Now, second.
Second bucket.
Second segment, bucket, whatever
right
you want to call
it. Right down the middle.
Is what?
Savings.
Emergency.
Emergency fund or savings?
Emergency money, right? Emergency. So you have to have a liquid emergency fund, and that could be savings account, could be money market, whatever it is, preferably not a CD, not an annuity, not even securities that you need to. An emergency account is designed that if your roof blows off or you need to go buy a generator today, that you can access it, right?
Yeah. 2 to 3 days, 3 to 5 business days at the outset, maybe.
The last is your nest egg. That's all the other stuff that you have, right? And then that nest egg can be even broken down more to create a strategy for the ultimate destination of your investment plan. Like, what is the money for? So in that nest egg, you might have what I call play money. You might have a portion of it that is in super high risk because you know you're not going to need that money for another 10 to 20 years.
Because with a long time horizon.
Right, a longer time horizon.
You have more risk potential.
Yeah, so we break it down into when are you going to need this money.
What is the time horizon?
Maybe this portion you're going to need within the next 10 years. Maybe the rest of it you're not going to need for another 10 years. It gives us more freedom to afford more risk because we have more time. But again, a plan, a strategy, not just out there winging it. So this next one, Colossians 2:5. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. I don't know why I put that one in there. It sounds good, though.
I am with you in spirit. Beholding your order.
Yes, probably. Beholding your order.
And steadfastness of your faith in Christ. And no matter what you're going through and struggling, though, within life, you know, we need to remain steadfast in Christ. It's a good verse. And even through, you know, they might be going through financial difficulties and hardships. And doesn't mean you can't have a planning session.
Key order, I think, is organized in order, like you're saying. So 1 Corinthians 14:40, let all things be done decently and in order. And Proverbs 24:27, prepare thy work without and make it fit for thyself in the field, and afterwards build thine house. So putting in all the work
necessary to be able and
then
ready.
Going and facilitating the plan, having the destination, or maybe it's not building a house, maybe it is retiring, but doing the grind. Yeah. Putting in the effort and the work to get there.
Everything the military does, they have planning sessions. And the planning, it's called an operations order.
Yeah.
So everything that is done in the United States military is done with an operations order. And there's like 5 paragraphs. And so it's very built out, you just fill in the blanks, you know.
It's like a plan.
So that's a plan, an operations order.
So I'm not military. However, we do have 5 sections of our planning. Do you know what they are? Come on, Frank. Frank is on the chopping block today. The testing center. He's in a testing center, not a studio. Okay, so there's the income plan. That's number one. The investment plan. The tax plan. What is the next one? Tax plan. Legacy plan. And healthcare. Long-term care. Medicare. So there's 5, just like the military. 5 orders. Is that what you called them?
5 paragraphs.
5 paragraphs. So those are our 5 paragraphs. Mm-hmm. Income, investments, plan or tax planning, healthcare, long-term care, and And legacy planning. If something happens to you, what happens to your spouse? What happens to your children? How do you pass your estate onto your heirs in the most tax efficient way possible? Right. But I think that's funny that it's five. So let's talk about some of the industries, financial industries, most influential people. And we've got first up, Susie Orman. So Susie Orman is very popular. And her and Dave Ramsey both, I think, have a younger audience growing your nest egg kind of in your earlier years. And so a lot of their thought of the information that they provide is not always transferable to after retirement, right? So because the reason I say that is because you need to be aware that there is the accumulation phase of your financial life, and then there's the distribution phase of your financial life. And they're two different phases. The difference is your accumulation is when you're not really pulling money. You don't need the money that you're contributing to your 401k. You're not living off of that. But one day you will be, possibly. Yep. So that's the distribution phase.
Right.
Go ahead.
And yeah, I mean, you know, all the 401ks, you know, didn't come into existence. This is like the 70s. Like for a long time, many Americans didn't have 401ks, right? Because many corporations in America were providing pensions for providing.
Right.
But so, you know, like you're saying, though, thinking about all those, like, I'm going to put my whole, so, you know, thinking about the 401k, like the government's helping you figure out that I need to save for retirement, but there's strings attached. But maybe some of that money could be in accounts I should be saving more that don't have any strings attached.
Right, like taxes.
Like making sure I have that big that big nest egg, or I'm sorry, emergency fund built up, but so that I can take a risk in an investment. And there's other ways to protect your money or build your wealth besides
401k.
Just using 401k.
So Susie Orman, do you have her?
I do. Yes, well, the slide.
Go
ahead. You want me to read number one?
Yeah, quote. You read a Susie Orman.
Number
quote.
One.
Yes.
Number one. Uno. A big part of financial freedom is having your heart and mind free from worry about the what ifs of life.
Yeah.
Free from the worry about the what ifs of life.
Yeah, so that's what we just touched on, right? What if this happened? What if that happens?
Yeah.
Because
am I prepared? Do I have a plan in place?
If you have a plan in place, then you know the answer to the what ifs. What if?
It's like teaching your
teenager. If something happened to me and God forbid I'm gone, what happens to my clients? What happens to Frank? Those are answers that give peace of mind. If you don't know the answer to that, or Frank doesn't know the answer, or my clients don't know the answer to that, then that's discomfort, right?
Yep.
And God forbid if that, but that is a risk. That is something that could happen. And having a plan in place, a succession plan, having my clients know that they can call their custodian directly, that they can call Frank, that they can still continue, you know, facilitating their plans that we've made together, that's peace of mind.
Yep.
And so those are the what ifs that we're talking about. So agree with Susie 100%. Next one, also Susie Orman. It's not about having it all. It's about having what you really value most. And I cannot stress this enough. It is so important that we focus on the things that matter most to us, that we value the most, and that's not always money. And sometimes I'll ask people, what would be your perfect day?
Mm-hmm.
So for those of you listening or watching, ask yourself, sit down and actually put a little effort into this answer. What would be your perfect day? And I've asked Frank this, though. I'm already picturing Frank's perfect day. So who would you wake up with? Who would you spend that day with? Where would you be? What would you be doing? How would you feel, you know, when you go to bed that night? Like, how would you feel about that day that you got to live out? And then really, that really will help you identify what you value most, what actually means the most to you.
Certainly making sure that you're lined up with God's word.
Yeah, amen. Amen.
Otherwise, you might be driving off a cliff.
Yes, and the value of identifying the things that matter most to you, because it's very easy for us to get distracted. I think distractions are a bigger threat than this whole like keeping up with the Joneses thing.
Yeah,
I don't think that people are as concerned about keeping up as they are getting distracted and and doing these
in this world today, there's so much distraction.
Going
so
hastily.
Much distraction.
Remember the one verse said, going hastily. And
the enemy's way is to distract us from those things that are important.
We're getting a phone call. I'll read the next one while they bring the line through. The only way you will ever permanently take control of your financial life is to dig deep and fix the root problem. So for me, it's Amazon. I'm just kidding. The UPS truck, the Amazon truck is always at my house. No, it's true. It's so easy to make purchases now that, and I'm not a big shopper. I don't even like going to like the mall.
Macy's.
Or
Dillard's.
Walmart or anywhere. Like, I would rather go to Walgreens and just walk in and grab what I need and walk right back out. I guess I don't like to walk all over a store. And I will abort a cart. Like, I will fill my cart up, but get so exhausted.
Is that from your online experience?
No, just like in the physical. And then abort mission and just leave my cart. So shopping is not my thing. Okay, we got a caller coming in.
Hello, good afternoon. This is the Mindy Molina Show.
Can you put them on speaker?
So don't hang it up. Put it on speaker and then put your...
John. This is Todd.
Yes, Todd.
Hi, Todd.
Hey, Todd.
How y'all doing?
We're doing good, Todd. How are you doing today?
I'm good. I got a crazy question. I cashed in some of my Royal Caribbean, and I had them keep like $1,700 in an account at Centaurus, so I could buy more stock if I needed to.
Okay.
Okay. And it's the stock that I want to rebuy is some of the stock I already have. It's just dropping way below what I paid for originally for it. Do I have to wait the 2 years for the because the interest to pay on the taxes is different if you hold on to it longer?
Capital gains.
For capital gains?
Yes. Like if I bought it and sold it, the taxes would be different than if I bought it and held it for 10 years, 5 years, a year, or 2 years, whatever it is. That's the right. Taxes would be different.
Right. So, but you've already sold it, correct?
Yes, ma'am, but I have other ones that I still have.
Oh.
And I'm, because it, the other ones that I have have dropped lower than what I bought them for. I was thinking about buying more.
So if you give a, if you can send a statement over to Frank, he'll be able to tell you what your tax burden is going to be before you sell more. Can you do that?
No, I'm not selling. No. I can't. I'm upside down on this one. What I'm trying to do is buy more of the one that dropped further than what I paid for it, because I have money in my escrow.
Do you want to buy more stock because it's down? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. You're saying you want to.
No. The price. Like American Airlines. Yeah. Like American Airlines. I paid $15 a share or $14 a share. It's dropped below that, a lot. I was going to buy more.
Yes.
So I have to hold on to the more longer for the taxes.
If you know the opportunity. Don't let taxes keep you from earning money, right? Like, are you going to – so, for example, if it's going up, you have the option to hold on to it if you'd like. But if you're wanting to dump it then and you pay a little bit more in taxes, it might still be worth the growth than not doing it.
You have to be careful also for which shares you sell. Like, without declaring, like, you can tell your broker which shares you want. There's called first in, first out. That's called FIFO.
Oh, yes. So, I get you. I understand. So there is a difference.
Yes, there's definitely a difference. The shares that you've held for longer than 12 months would be more beneficial in paying a lower tax rate because it would be a long term.
Absolutely, because I've held on to these for 3.5 years.
There you go.
And I wanted to buy more because they're going low. Seems like they're on a more of a downward trend. And like 2 years ago, they were quite up there.
So, Todd, do you know who Susie Orman is?
No.
It's okay to say no.
Yeah.
We were just talking about some of the financial leaders on the show today, talking about some of their advice about having a good, sound financial plan in place. And so we were talking about Susie Orman. I was curious if you knew who she was.
Of course, the principle you're trying to exercise is always the number one rule in finances is buy low, sell high.
Exactly.
That's how I got into this. My friend your predecessor, the dude that was started the financial thing on WCNO. He's how I got here.
All right, very good. Did we answer your question?
So far, so good. Yes.
Well, let us know how it turns out.
Well, I'm trying to find the next low that it hits, and I'm buying. Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
And then,
all right.
And then we have to talk about my annuities too, to find out, because you told me there's a mature date on that, so I can switch it out and have y'all find something that's a little more aggressive.
Okay. Well, give us a call, and we'll schedule a meeting for you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Or you can
be
book
blessed.
Online.
Be safe.
You can book online if you want to. Thanks, Todd. Take care.
Wait. Remember, online is a fishing line. They catch fish online. I do one person.
Fishers of the Lord.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
Amen. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Todd. What did he say he was buying? Airline?
American Airlines.
Caribbean.
And Caribbean. World Caribbean Cruise.
One of them. So this is Dave Ramsey, some of the things that he's quoted saying. And a lot of you have heard of Dave Ramsey. He's lots of educational stuff going on. Online books and courses, so on, that you can take. If you will live like no one else later, you can live like no one else. I guess that means not overspending, not trying to keep up with the Joneses, right? Another one, we buy things we don't need with money we don't have to impress people we don't like.
Yeah, I don't know if that's his original. Maybe it is, but I've heard that one before. That's been around a while.
You must gain control over your money, or the lack of it will forever control you.
That's certainly true.
That's certainly true. The enemy of the best is not the worst. The enemy of the best is just fine. Yeah. I don't know what that means.
Well, that's like, you know, I try to remember the pray when I'm praying for folks. And, you know, so a lot of times we settle for okay or good. But what about God's very best? Like, we want God's very best. Like, Jesus told the story about praying, right? Who asked the Father for a stone or a serpent or a rock? And would his Father, he's asking for bread. He wouldn't give him a serpent or bread.
Right,
you know, he wants to give him the best.
Yeah. Blessing. You know, I mean, we want God's blessing. We want to be blessed by the Lord.
We have to be staying in his covenant.
And going back, like being a Christian and believing in the Lord doesn't mean you have to be in poverty.
No.
He doesn't. I don't have the verse on here. I think it's in Jeremiah where Jesus says, like, he wants us to have prosperity and good health. And
I know the plans for you.
Yes.
To prosper you.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Not for you to, the plans I have for you to live in poverty and struggle. That's like not, but some ways we justify our lack of financial freedom in that.
Well, that's like cutting loose with the tie.
Being wealthy means being the Antichrist. Like, no, that's not it. That's what Satan wants you to believe, because he doesn't want you to have the power and the control of your blessings in your
we're not citizens of this world,
right?
Just passing through.
So but I will say on this one, because it was a little confusing, but while you were talking I read it again, the enemy of the best is not the worst. So it's like the best case scenario or the worst case scenario. Okay, so I get that. You have one versus the other. You have the best case scenario, you have the worst case scenario. What he's saying is the biggest enemy is saying it's fine.
That's okay.
It's fine.
It'll be okay.
And that
that's
is a pet peeve that I have with so many financial advisors, because they're not planning. They are saying, they're pacifying. It's fine. Got another call coming in. No. Frank hung up on them. Sorry, Frank. So saying, oh, it'll be fine, is your worst enemy, because that's just pacifying what you should be planning. Having a plan is not pacifying. Having a plan is having an answer. It's having a plan, moving forward, and having peace of mind. Like, you don't even have to think about it because you know when you're going to retire. You know why you're invested in what and the why and what you're invested in and why. Okay, personal finance is 80% behavior and 20% head knowledge.
And we've talked about this. This is already like having a plan and then implementing and being diligent, taking the steps, being tenacious towards doing the things that you know are financially sound for you and your family. Like,
amen. Here's Tony Robbins. Here's some words by him. Financial freedom is available to those who learn about it and work for it. And that's another reason why we have the YouTube channel. It's a reason why we do this show and the podcast. And we're building this online course that you'll be able to take hopefully by the end of the year, is so that we can help you make good decisions. All of our listeners are not clients, right? Yep. They're learning from us, and that is our gift to you, is teaching you, whether it's things that you already know, but you're being inspired and reminded and encouraged to make actionable plans, right? Take action. Focus on your finances, get organized, clean out the junk drawer of your financial drawer, and get yourself organized and positioned so that all the money that you have is diligently working on your behalf to get you from where you are today to where you need to be in order to enjoy your life the way you want in the future.
And I have a chance to tell you, I was sitting next to this lady. I recognized her. I didn't remember exactly where from. So I, you know, took up a conversation where they told her I was a financial planner. She's like, oh, you know, I have all these 401ks from these previous jobs. Can I put them all in one place? Mm-hmm. I was like, that's what we do.
Yes.
And yes. I gave her a card.
That's what I do.
That's what we
You're
do.
You're like the 401k roundup. Yeah, you know, there was a time not that long ago where you were not able to do that. You actually couldn't combine them all into one IRA. Now you can. So all of your previous 401ks from previous jobs.
Because a 401k, you can make it personal. It becomes a rollover IRA. A 401k can be a rollover IRA, personal.
So here's another one. The most important investment you can make is in yourself, Tony Robbins. Success is doing what you love and being able to give back. It's taking what you've been given and sharing it with others. It's the impact and the legacy. That's the ultimate success. So I have to agree in a lot of aspects of that. I definitely know that making an impact, creating that footprint in
legacy.
The world. Yeah. And sharing your gifts, your knowledge with others is so impactful. And it does make you, even if you're not as successful as you want to be, it makes you feel like it because you're actually making a difference, right?
And certainly success in the Lord's eyes, not the same as success in the world. And we don't live by the world standards.
Absolutely. For two people that work with money every single day, and money is like the, you know, I want to say root, but it's kind of the foundation of everything that our business is founded on.
Finances, money.
It's ironic how little Frank and I put value on it in terms of that
our
spiritual, our
whatever,
faith. Yeah, like God is just, he's God. He's above all things. So last one by Tony Robbins. Your income right now is a result of your standards. It is not the industry. It is not the economy. So I wonder if that what he's saying is that's more of an encouragement of getting a better job.
Yeah, to strive to be your best and do your best and to, you know, not settle for mediocrity. I used to tell the other warrant officers that I flew with in the United States military, look, you show up at the right place, be in the right uniform, do what you're supposed to do, like, and be on time, like, you're going to stand out among your peers because a bunch of the other guys are a bunch of knuckleheads.
They're not even.
Just do what you're supposed to do and do it well. Do it with integrity.
So that's it's true. this is Warren Buffett. Moving on to Mr. Buffett. So obviously a lot of us have heard his name before. Do not save what is left after spending. Instead, spend what is left after saving. Oh, yeah. That's interesting. So I like using the word spend because I think it's a little like a psychological thing with saving versus spending. So I tell people, spend money on your
priorities,
retirement.
Though. He's
spend
talking about
money
priorities.
On your – I know, but instead of using the word save, Just use the word spend. You need to spend money on your retirement account. Spend more money on your 401k. Spend more money on your investments. So you feel like you're spending, but it's the same thing as saving.
What? That's a good.
Yeah. Okay, so Warren Buffett, the stock market is a device for transferring money from the impatient to the patient. I have not heard that one before, but I really like it. It's very true. Yeah. What is that emotional roller coaster chart that we have?
Frank
thinks is a little too elementary, but it's the truth.
No, it is.
Right?
Yeah,
and this is the stock market is a device for transferring money from the impatient to the patient.
It's the mood swings when you have to struggle with the truth. What we talked about earlier, to be successful in investing world, the number one rule is to
plan.
Buy low, sell high.
So read, are you on the Warren Buffett one?
Yes, ma'am.
Read
number
the next one there.
Four?
Yes.
Risk comes from not knowing what you're doing.
Yes.
Risk comes from not knowing what you're doing. Yes.
It's very, very true. Risk comes from not knowing what you're doing. I think there are so many people that just go. Yeah, and it's not their fault. They have their own profession, right? They have a job. They have a career. Their profession is not investing in the stock market or financial planning or planning out a retirement strategy, okay, or investing to retire. The reality of it is they could possibly be their lack of – going back to that verse that we read about how important it is to surround yourself with advisors, that's what's going to help you have a successful plan, is that you might actually be the biggest threat to your overall financial success, because you're getting in the way of the opportunity for people who this is their career, this is what they do all
day. Take the initiative to do some
planning. And here's the thing, like for the way that our businesses designed is that we are not the ones sitting at the trading desk making trades back and forth. Okay, that's not my position. That's not what I do.
I am the
planner. Right, we create all the plans, we implement the plans, but the people that are doing the trading, the analysts that are doing the research every day, that's all they do. They're not doing radio shows.
Yeah.
They're not meeting with clients to talk about
taking phone calls.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just, this is what they do, and they are always at the helm because they don't have any other distractions. That is their number one job. So while you're out doing your job, while I'm out doing my job, they are there doing their job. And that could be actually soliciting that help, whether it's through our practice or not, soliciting those advisors could be the greatest thing that you ever do for yourself financially.
And just to compliment what you're talking about, though, because that could be true without tactical, strategic investing.
Passive. A lot of you in your 401ks, you're in target funds, for example, that are passive investments. No one is micromanaging that 8 hours a day. So tactical management, active management, is where you actually do have somebody watching and micromanaging it. And guess what? If they are seeing a different sector, they're not just going to keep you in one area because that's what you signed up for. They're going to micromanage that and keep you going in the right direction, which is up. We want you to keep growing. So is that it?
Almost.
Good job.
Oh, look, this is John Bogle, Vanguard, and he is the startup of Vanguard. And he says, in investing, you get what you don't pay for. Is this us? Oh, okay. Well, remember, God loves you, and there's nothing anyone can do about it. Thanks for listening. Join us next week. And remember, if you have any concerns about your financial picture, please reach out to us at 561-729-2778. There's a no obligation consultation. All you have to do is text or call 561-729-2778. Or you can reach us on our website at www.mindymolina.com. Mindy Molina Investments and Insurance has been protecting the retirement of families for 15 years. Information provided by Mindy Molina Investments and Insurance and or its affiliates are for informational purposes only and is not intended to be relied upon as a forecast, research, or investment advice and is not a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any securities or to adopt any investment strategy. Get your financial report at 561-729-2778. Or you can reach us at www.mindymolina.com.
You never said I wouldn't feel pain, but you said that you'd be with me too. Promise that I wouldn't break.